Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, with your host, Adam Emmert.
Is he half, like, cowboy, half Japanese? Nope. Like, who is this guy?
And Jared Tim.
Could you imagine John Elway riding Thunder? I love Thunder.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, your Seahawks and Broncos podcast with a decidedly West Coast bias. I am your co-host, Adam Emmert.
The best bias.
The best bias. Sitting next to me across the table here, the man, the myth, the man with abs that makes Leonidas jealous, Jared Tim. How you doing today, my friend?
Oh, good. I'm good. We got a bunch of rain these last couple of days. It's kind of breezy out there now.
Yeah, it's a very comfortable Missoula, Montana today.
Finally, some relief.
Oh, it's great. Well, today, folks, we're going to talk about a few different things. I just want to start out with a couple quick notes here. One of them is that we are now on Twitter, so you can find us on there. I'm not really sure how to fucking use it yet.
I'm not sure I was going to use it either. I'm not the one doing it just because I am a complete tech-tard man. So
yeah, and I'm not far behind, so it's it could be interesting. But so you can find us on Twitter, at A Flock of Donkeys.
Because where else would we be?
Yeah, exactly. We met a gentleman there, or I did, on Twitter since I've been doing it, a Jacob Dearlove, a fan of the show. Right. He's actually an excellent writer. He writes a lot of great articles. He just put one up about previewing week 1 and 2. You can find him on Twitter at SportsRantsNFL.
What was the dude's name again?
Jacob Dearlove.
There you go.
He's a Canucker. He's out of Canada.
All right.
Yeah. Love nice. Those. I love Canuckers. So
good for you.
It's good stuff. Anyways, so Jacob Dearlove, thank you for
I
writing
love northern
into the show.
People, you know?
Yeah, he's good stuff. I just also want to give one other quick shout out to one of the commenters on the Mile High Report. A great fan. I don't know his real name. He just goes by Ten Fiver. But you're good shit, dude.
What else you really need to go by? That says a lot.
I'm just saying, you kind of got in there and traded blows with some people that get their panties in a twist over the title. Thanks for that. We appreciate it. Not that we can't fight our own battles, but, you know.
It's better when you don't have to.
Yeah, I'm lazy. I don't want to deal with that shit. So anyways, folks, what we're going to do today, we're going to talk about training camp, kind of position battles coming and going, and the things that have come out of that up to this point. And then we're also going to preview the preseason game that's coming up on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So we'll get
into
that.
Finally, football's here. Finally, a game.
So one other thing here. The beer we're drinking today. One other thing is Kettle House Brewery Company here in Missoula, Montana. They're cold smoked Scotch Ale. We're going to get into that a bit more here in the middle of the podcast.
I don't know if you're going to make it through that.
That was tough, man. I'm struggling early on this one. I'm going to pull it together. It's going to be better.
Bad first quarter, man.
All right, man. Well, yeah, but I got time to recover, so it's going to be okay. So I think we're going to start out with the chicken scratch here today, Jared.
Yeah, we have to.
We do, because it's time, and we always put the best first. So a couple things I wanted to cover.
That's not even how it goes. Best for last. Save the best for last.
I changed phrases to make them fit whatever the fuck I want, Jared. It's my world. Everybody else is just living in it. Just wanted to touch on the Percy Harvin injury, because when we talked to you guys last time, whether he was going to have surgery or not. He did have the surgery. It apparently went well, blah, blah, blah.
They all do.
My one thought on the Harvin injury, as I've kind of digested this, is I think it'll probably hurt us most in the kick return game rather than as, you know, an offensive weapon, because we let Leon Washington go.
And you
go.
See that as a pretty big deal, huh?
I'm not saying it's a huge deal. I'm just saying, if I'm looking at it and thinking, okay, where's this injury going to affect us the most? I think that's where it'd be. No,
it's fair.
We're trying Golden Tate back there. We're going to try Kristen Michael, the rookie second-round pick back there. We're also going to try this kid Brian Walters back there. Apparently he had a good college career returning. And he's really been flashing in camp as a receiver. Little white guy. He's just getting it done out there.
With the rest of you Bronco fan, who?
Yeah, exactly. Brian Walters. I didn't know about him until just the other day. So that was kind of just a quick thought. Last to wrap up the Percy Harvin injury.
Okay.
So we'll see. Look for that in the preseason. See if we have a good answer for kick returns. As far as training camp goes, there's been a couple guys.
Training cramp?
Training cramps.
Is this a medical situation you guys are having over there?
Yeah, I mean,
is this?
Yeah, well, they made training cramps, training camps so much easier now that it's kind of vaginal. So it's like, you know, it's like
Do
a
they
cramp.
Produce Midol in Seattle? Is that where that is?
They produce it everywhere, I think. They need it. That women across the globe need that shit. So anyways, a couple guys that have stood out to me in camp to this point. One is Sean McGrath, the tight end. You know, we talked a little bit on the last pod about...
Yeah, you guys are needing that position right
what
now.
We're going to need to do... I've seen Sean McGrath make a bunch of circus catches, you know, on the live stream that you can watch.
But how does he do on a football field?
Well, that's what we get to find out here on Thursday. Yeah, so... But he's looked really, really good. He catches everything. He's been good separation-wise out there.
Do you know how big he is?
He's tight end size. Yeah.
6'4", 250?
Yeah, right in there.
All
right. I don't know. Yeah. But, no, I mean, he's a good-sized dude. He's a good blocker, too. I mean, he's a stout guy. I don't know his exact physical dimensions, no.
Just curious.
But yeah, I think I'm starting to feel better about the tight end group. Okay. I was panicking early, you know, with the Zach Miller thing.
You're freaking.
Apparently, he's close to coming back. And, you know, McGrath has looked good.
McGrath has single-handedly brought you back down to earth.
Yeah, he's lowered my DEFCON level.
I like this guy already. Now you're tolerable.
Yeah, me too. He's got a good beard, you know.
All right.
Yeah, I like him. He looks rugged. So he's been really sticking out. Brian Walters, who I just spoke about, has just been ripping it up. He caught a touchdown pass in the mock game.
You mentioned him before, right?
No, this is a guy that's new to me.
Who's that?
It was Stephen Williams.
There you go.
And, you know, getting to Stephen Williams, apparently, you know, all that talk about how he was, you know, doing so great and blah, blah, blah in the first practice or two, it's kind of came back down to earth. I kind of feel like he might be Arizona's version of Ricardo Lockett, and like basically they just like let him go. We picked him up thinking he was gonna be great because he's tall, fast, and big, but he just can't freaking catch.
A lot of these guys have big time flashes in training camp, and then it comes down to putting the pads on and getting in game situations, and then they just don't have it.
Yeah,
that's the level that they max out at,
and that could be the thing with him. The other thing though is that they've been putting him in with the ones a lot, and he's had Sherman on him. And Sherman's been shutting everybody down. So, that could be a portion of it. But Stephen Williams not looking quite as good. We'll see in the preseason, though. The preseason games, that's when you really start to kind of see guys separate, you know, when you get to see them in actual live action.
That's why I'm excited for the preseason games coming up. Especially in these first couple of games, you can tell a lot about where your coaches think the players are just by the reps and whether they're getting those reps with the ones or the twos or the threes in the end of the game. You kind of see where the coaches put people right now, and then you can kind of see them change as preseason goes along.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the guys that I think, you know, the depth chart will change is at the fullback position. Michael Robinson, he is not in danger of losing his job for this year. I mean, he's definitely entrenched. He's looking
great. You would hope not. He's a good locker room guy, too.
He's a great locker room. He's a team captain. But Spencer Ware, the pick out of LSU, Pete Carroll's really high on him. He speaks really highly of him every time that he's asked about him. He came out on this new depth chart that just came out as being the third fullback at this point. Mm-hmm. I would look to him to move up to the second fullback at the end of preseason games. And the reason is, in training camp, you know, you can't really hit anybody. There's really no live tackling and all that. He is a really, really hard runner. He's a guy that's very, very physical, and that's the big reason that they drafted him. You can't really see that in training camp. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to really pop out during the preseason games.
And a lot of coaches are really hesitant to put a player up the depth chart right away when it's just training camp. We got a similar guy. I was actually going to talk about that very same thing with one of our players.
Got to make them earn it.
They just hesitate. Yeah, you've had a great training camp so far. We're getting into preseason games. It's kind of your prove-it time.
Yeah,
you know, it's the same situation.
Krista Michaels looked good, you know, super quick. So that's exciting. I'm really excited to see him in the preseason.
Go Kristen.
Yeah. You know how well, I love Kristens. Good God. Anyways, you know, I'm looking
George
forward
Michaels
to seeing him.
From another mother.
Turbin's been injured still. Hasn't returned yet to practice.
Big Guns Turbinator?
Yeah, Turbo. Turbo down with a foot injury. They keep saying he's close to coming back. I hope that's true. Maybe they're just resting him. I don't know.
He's got some camp foot?
Yeah, he might have a little camp foot. I don't know.
A little lingering action?
They won't say what it is. So, I mean, we honestly have no clue. But I like Turbin a lot. I think he's going to be our second string back when it's
all
said.
He's got good hands coming out of the backfield.
Great hands. And he's got good speed, good vision. I'm really high on Turbo. So I'm hoping that that clears itself up here sooner rather than later. Something that happened today in training camp that was disconcerting is Carpenter limped off the field today. And you
it's
know,
been happening
same
a
leg.
Lot to everybody lately, though.
Every single year it happens with him, you know. And you keep thinking, well, he's going to be back. He's going to be healthy. Maybe it was just a tweak. Maybe it was something small. Maybe it was something minor. I don't know. I mean, they haven't said anything, but that's concerning. I mean, we do have Paul McQuiston that has been starting with the ones anyways at this point that we had projected at guard. But I was hoping to see – or left guard, but I was hoping to see Carpin there, you know. So that was kind of a bummer. So that was kind of, you know, my observations from training camp to this point, you know, from 250-odd some miles away, you know, watching the live stream, you know, like distance, everybody else, you know.
And all the reports and everything.
Yeah.
Player
yeah.
interviews, coaches.
Exactly. So it's kind of how that's all looking. But I want to get a little bit into the preseason game.
Okay.
Seattle Seahawks versus the San Diego Chargers. One of your favorite teams out there.
I hate the fucking Chargers, man. Fucking hate them.
So it'll be an interesting game.
No, it won't.
No, just to see, just to watch position groups.
I'm just fucking with you. From a matchup standpoint, that would just never be a good
game. Oh, no. I mean, well, you never know what. The final score of a preseason game could be completely lopsided, and it's not indicative of the two squads. It's just trying out. You know, maybe they're trying out different facets of the offense or different players, different positions or whatever.
You just want to see if players can actually follow through with a play against an opposing defense that you don't know what's coming.
Right.
Let's polish off a couple of plays that we thought we knew that we could run some base package plays, and let's see what happens in game one.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple things that I'm looking for in this game is, number one, the tight end group. Mm-hmm. I want to see if Cooper Helfett, how he plays. Obviously, I want to see how Sean McGrath plays, you know, like I mentioned earlier. I think he could be big. And then also the rookie Luke Wilson. He actually has been making plays in camp. He's fast and tall and, you know, good hands. So,
How tall is he?
I'm going to have to start writing this shit down, man. I don't know.
Put it in the 40 in, man.
Yeah, he ran it in fast. That's what he ran it in.
Tight end speed?
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm looking forward to see if that speed does translate, you know, against pro-level competition. And to see how he looks when he gets knocked around a little bit. Because he is slider, you know. So if he's on the line and he's just getting, you know,
blocking is one of the biggest part about being a tight end right now.
Yeah. And especially
for the running back, you know, they say blocking is for a running back. It's like 60-40. Blocking is 60% of being a good running back. With a tight end, that even goes higher. So.
Sure. You know what, especially, you know, you're picking up, you know, blitzes and things like that as a back, but you know, as a tight end in an offense like ours, where we ran the ball 55% of the time last year, it's important that guy can run block well, you know? I mean, not that Anthony McCoy was the best run blocker, but, you know, if, God forbid, Zach Miller doesn't make it back for this year, you know, at any given point.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
You know, I keep expecting him to come back on the field here anytime, but, yeah, I mean, we need to make sure we have him ready to go, and, you know, maybe McGrath would be our number two. I think McGrath will be our number two, and I think Wilson will be our number three. And then maybe they bring those two different guys in situationally. You know, if it's something where they maybe want to show run, they'll bring McGrath in. But if it's something where they're definitely, you know, throwing the ball, you'll probably see Wilson out there a bit more as the number two. So definitely want to look at that. I really want to see Christine Michael. It's going to be sweet to watch this guy go. He is so fast. And
you've been talking about him since the draft.
I have. I mean, he was our top draft pick. You know, and I just want to know, you know, like, is this second round pick going to work out? You know, I mean, I don't like drafting backs that high. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if he can go out there and actually perform. And we're probably not going to see much of Marshawn. I mean, really, maybe at all. So I think we'll see a heavy dose of Christian Michael. And just to kind of see,
especially with Turbin being hurt, too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So that should be fun to watch. And then also to see how Spencer Ware does translate, you know, with, you know, actual live action. Because I think...
Actual live action.
Instead of
none
fake...
None of the fake stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
imitation action.
Imitation action is never good, man. I always want the real deal action. So that'll be fun to watch. I'm looking at the offensive guard positions, you know. I mean, we have the competition in both spots, whether it's Sweezy and Moffitt or McQuiston and Carpenter. I mean, I guess Carpenter can play.
Is that like the mafia side of the line, Sweezy and Moffitt?
Oh, like, yeah, because Giacomini's next to him, man. Jesus. Like, they're straight burying bodies in the desert, dude. Like
Russia versus Italy out there?
You don't know, man. The big Russian. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, they're that's kind of the dirty side of the line.
That's a foreign line.
It's a foreign line. Although, yeah.
You don't go over there unless you have to.
No, at all, man. So that'll be interesting to see. Sweezy apparently still struggling a bit in pass protection, but is a superior run blocker. Moffitt, you know, is kind of middle of the road in both areas. Mm-hmm. I kind of like Moffitt's consistency. I thought the offense played better with Moffitt in there last year.
Well, that's what you want in your offensive line. You don't want flashes of ups and downs. You have to have consistency to get to keep a drive going.
And, I mean, Sweezy's the seventh-round pick that was the D-lineman that we converted to the offensive lineman. And I would imagine his growth, you know, from last year to this year should be pretty, you know, pretty steep, you would think, going into your second year. You would hope.
You always hope.
But the best part is that we don't have our hopes pinned on it either. You know, I mean, we've got guys that can play. And then between McQuiston and Carp, I mean, if Carpenter can just freaking stay healthy, we'd be just maulers on the left side of the line with Okun, Carpenter, and then Unger at center. Man, that's reminiscent of the old Hutchinson days and in Walter Jones, man. Like, that left side of the line, I would love to see that again. And so hopefully Carp, I want to see him in that game. I hope it's not bad. We'll kind of go from there.
Injuries are riddling everybody right now, though.
Dude, holy injuries crap. Are tough
across
out
the
there.
NFL.
Tough out there. I mean, Packers lose Brian Bulaga today.
Yep.
You know, I think that's a big blow to
them.
That's
a blindside guy, too.
Yep.
After they had shifted their entire line in the offseason.
Yeah.
And they've fucking lose their
They've
left
seemed
tackle.
To struggle with offensive line for the last 2-3 years, you and know, defense. Just keeping guys. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, everybody's kind of getting hit with injuries. I mean, I'm not even hitting the full injury list. I mean, there was a bunch of guys listed today.
Yeah, we can't really go over everything. That would just take too long.
It would take too long. And on
and
top
there's
of
a
that,
lot of nicks and knacks where players will be out maybe a practice or two or a half a practice in their back. So
Exactly. I also think that we'll see a little bit of Sidney Rice. He was back in practice today, running routes, looked good. Says that he won't know the full effects of his little witch doctor treatment that he got in Switzerland, you know, for a couple weeks because it takes a little while for the Regenokine.
For the serum?
Yeah, for the special to serum in. To mix in. And but that is very good news to just see that he was back out there.
Dude, he'll be back week one. He'll be ready to go.
Oh, yeah. He's not. He'll probably play a bit in the preseason even still. So that made me feel a little better. The last thing I really am curious about in this preseason game is our defensive tackles. Jesse Williams, he had tweaked the knee last time we had talked and had to leave practice and had missed a practice the next one. He's been back the last couple days, and in the mock game that they held just the other day, looked really strong. He had his best day at camp, was looking great. So I'll be interested to see him. Pete Carroll talked a lot about Jordan Hill in the press conference the other day, the guy that I've been touting for a while here.
Not the basketball player.
No, not the basketball player. He says he just has a way about him when he's pass rushing, and everybody's really remarked about his lateral speed and how he's able to get around guys, and I think he's going to be our nickel package three technique guy.
Which is basically a base package anymore in the NFL now anyways.
Yeah, we ran a lot of nickel last year. And then also the quarterbacks. I'm really interested to see the cornerbacks. Whether it's going to be Jeremy Lang that comes through, or some people are saying Antoine Winfield might have a hard time making this team. I have a hard time believing that. I'd like to have Antoine Winfield in there as our nickel corner over, say, like a Jeremy Lane or a Byron Maxwell or something like that.
It depends on how these guys are progressing, because you drafted those guys, right?
Yeah, and then also Walter Thurman. He has stayed healthy all through camp. He's looked great. I want to see this guy. This guy is a starting caliber corner in this league when healthy. So we'll see. We'll see how that all kind of shakes
up. When you have these players on your team and you're just like, but you just can't stay on the field.
You know, if Walter Thurman could stay healthy, I'm fully convinced he'd take Brandon Browner's spot back there in the cornerback rotation. I really do. I think he'd be our number two corner.
Or he'd be your slot guy, since Brandon Browner is huge and you want him on the outside just for matchup purposes.
Yeah, but, you know, one thing that I felt a little under the weather this weekend, you know, rewatched a couple of Hawks games while I was lying here on the couch moaning to myself. And one thing that I did notice is
sprained uterus.
Yeah. And Brandon Browner got picked on a lot last year.
Yeah, because you can't go to the other side.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's why.
Every
corner opposite of Champ Bailey for the last decade is just like, I hate playing football.
Right. Yeah, I get that. But, you know,
welcome to it, buddy.
he's an average cover corner, but he's a hell of a guy in run support.
Yeah, he's a good run stopper. It's incredible how he can get his body so low to make those tackles. You would not know that he's that tall.
No. And with his knock knees and the whole thing. So, yeah. Watch those cornerback battles. That'll be
bottles.
So that'll be fun to watch. But those were kind of the main things I wanted to go over today. Didn't have a ton because we're going to have a lot after this preseason game to go over.
Yeah, that's what we're really waiting for. A lot of depth chart stuff is handled then.
Yeah.
You get to see a lot of the guys that you've been wanting to see play in a live game. A lot of your draft picks are coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. You know, you talk a lot about injuries right now because they're just happening. They're creeping up on every single team this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know a lot more after the next preseason game, which is Thursday.
Oh, for sure. And so, folks, if you have any thoughts after the preseason game, we'd love to hear them. So shoot us an email at afodpodcast.com, at gmail.com. Sorry, you got to get the full thing in there. So afodpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. Have a couple people still messaging us there.
I thought you were going to get better. You kind of picked it up, but you plateaued. And
I plateaued.
Right back down the mountain.
Yeah, I'm Stephen Williams right now. So anyways, folks, hit us up. Let us know what you think. But I think at this point, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the beer review.
And then the best stuff after that.
Well, there'll be stuff. There'll be stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best.
All right. Be right back, folks. Stay tuned. All righty. Welcome to the beer review of A Flock of Donkeys here. Today,
the second best part of this podcast.
You know, it might just be the first. I think it might be the first. It's my general favorite,
Would
actually.
Would you trade beer for the Seahawks?
That's a tough question. Like, if I had to choose between Seahawks and
everybody,
beer...
Everybody, think about that one for maybe a couple of days.
I will have an answer to the question by the end of this segment, okay?
By the end of the segment? Okay, yeah. I was going to give you till the next podcast.
Okay, well...
This is a thinker.
It is a thinker, but I'll put the pressure on myself. I'll have an answer for you on that, because that's tough.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, that's
question.
Like choosing between your mom and your dad, you know? Like
Socrates couldn't have come up with that.
Yeah, oh, jeez. That's tough stuff. Sophie's choice over here. All right, so the beer we're drinking today is from Kettle House Brew Company here in Missoula, Montana.
Yeah, hometown brew.
Yeah, hometown brew. This is my favorite brewery in Missoula. This is really...
You know, I haven't done a straight-up taste test, but it might be one of my favorite breweries in all of Montana.
Ooh, yeah. See, we need to do a bit more brewery tours just to, check that out. But love Kettle House. So the Cold Smoke Scotch Ale, that's what we're drinking today. Mm-hmm. It's 6.5%, Jared. So
it works.
It works. It should explain half of the stupid shit that I say on here. Like that's all I'm getting at.
I wouldn't
there.
Say half.
Yeah.
A third.
Third? Okay. I'll take that.
Two-thirds is all you.
Yeah, two-thirds, that's on me. Yeah, I'm that dumb. But, you know, it's a darker beer. It's a smooth beer. Yep. For me, personally, and you know kind of my tilt on this, I'm definitely more towards the lighter beers than the darker beers. Mm-hmm. It's a little thick for me.
I like a thick syrup pouring out of the bottle.
Yeah.
Like a
porter
it's
definitely a winter beer, in my opinion. But it's a little too thick for me. But I know it's one that you love.
I do love the Cold Smoke, and I can drink it in the fall, in the wintertime, but towards the springtime it gets to be a little much.
Yeah.
But I will tell you one thing about this, is I love Scotch Ales, Oatmeal Stouts, Porters. I like dark beers, and Scotch Ales are one of my favorites. And after you drink the Cold Smoke, you're going to compare every other Scotch Ale to it, and none really measure up. There's a lot that come really, really close. There's a lot of good Scotch Ales out there. But this one... definitely sets the tone for other Scotch Ales.
I would totally agree with that. Out of the dark beers, I prefer the Scotch Ale over the rest. And as far as the Scotch Ales go, it's great.
It's the best one I've ever had.
They say it has a sweet coffee finish, and that is definitely something that I do taste in it. And I love coffee.
Me too.
I'd bathe in it every day if I could.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, exactly. A little coffee just to get us going, and a little beer to bring it right back down. So check it out, folks. It is tasty, tasty stuff. Oh, the other great thing about it is that you can get it in cans.
Yeah.
So
take it on a river?
Absolutely. Skiing? You tube in the river, you're skiing, you're hot, doing a hot springs trip.
Anything.
Cold Smoke, man.
Yep.
Good stuff for you. It'll get bitches drunk quick. So
fast.
That might be its biggest selling point right there. So there it is, folks. That's the beer review. Stick with us. We're coming right back with some donkey spit. Drink a beer. Have a good time.
We'll see you in a sec.
And we're back, folks. Time for some donkey spit.
Here we are.
Some good old Broncos talk. I actually wanted to hear a little bit more about what's going on with the Broncos this week, Jared, because, you know, this is an interesting time here to see kind of where your team's starting to shape up going into that first preseason game.
It's interesting to see how they're shaping up. Kind of how younger players are forming. I like to watch guys that we've drafted in the last couple of years to see kind of how they're progressing.
Yeah, especially like year two, year three.
Yeah, we have a lot of guys on defense that are actually doing that very thing.
Really?
Yeah.
So who's caught your eye the most out of those?
Well, I think the guy who's caught everybody's eye, and if you've been paying any sort of attention to Bronco football whatsoever, you've a household name in Broncoville is now Duke Iheanacho. The dude is insane right now.
The Duke.
He's
where the fuck is the Duke Iheanacho from?
He was undrafted. I'm spacing where he was undrafted from, but he was undrafted last year. Spent a lot of time, 10 games on our practice squad. And now this year, he's taking reps with Raheem Moore.
Is he half like cowboy, half Japanese? Nope. Like, who is this guy?
One race, just black.
Where is he from?
I don't know.
Like, no, what college? Like,
I can't remember. I just said I was drawn.
How tall is he, Jared?
He is 6'1", 207 pounds.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, all right.
So he's a decent guy, but he's hitting hard. He's blowing up the run game. He's a safety. He's playing right next to Raheem Moore right now. He's taking ones. Quentin Jammer might be on the outside looking in at this point.
So you think it could be Duke and Moore back as your safeties?
Yeah, because for the past week or so, Duke Iheanacho has been taking all the one.
So he's your strong safety then?
Mike Adams is still listed on our depth chart as our number one strong safety.
Right, but he plays strong safety?
Yeah, he plays strong safety. Okay. He's listed at number two, and Quentin Carter's still at number three, but he's coming along.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, Quentin Jammer is actually behind Raheem Moore, David Bruton at free safety.
Oh, they have so Bruton.
He's at number three. Yeah, we signed Bruton to a 5-year deal in this offseason.
Oh, wow. So yeah. They think pretty highly of
him. We have promise of him, but mainly he's a special team just shark, man. He kills people on special teams.
I see. Yeah.
Broncos fans, if you guys remember Keith Burns, he was a linebacker that was awesome on special teams. Wesley Woodyard was for a long time, and he's kind of that guy for us right now is David Bruton.
Yeah.
Number 30.
Yeah.
Where's TD's old number? But, Duke Iheanacho is the guy that, Jack Del Rio can't keep him off the field, but He's got him second at strong safety. So it's another one of those things where you're going to have to prove it throughout these preseason games. Like we talked about before with the Seahawks, it's training camp is one thing, but when you get the pads on in real action, that's when you got to prove it.
Guys fighting for jobs, absolutely.
So Mike Adams is kind of, he's all but coughed up his job right now. And it's not because he's played poorly. It's just because they can't keep this dude off the field.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a fantastic name too. You want the Duke.
Oh, yeah.
You want the Duke roaming your defensive backfield, man.
As your strong safety.
Yeah.
Bet. And Raheem Moore's just playing lights out this offseason too. So
nice.
Yeah, our secondary's been looking pretty good. And we lost Dominic Rodgers-Camardi, but when everybody was talking about the injury, nobody fretted one bit about it. And he is listed as our number one guy. We did bring him in to be our number one at right corner. And we have, of course, Chris Harrison, slot position.
Right.
And then we have Chan Bailey on the other side.
So you're pretty well loaded up at cornerback.
Yeah, because we still have Omar Bolden, who we drafted last year.
Yeah, how's he been looking in camp? That's somebody that I meant to ask you about.
He's not been a guy who's really stuck out more than the ones. And so I would say between him and Kayvon Webster, who we drafted this year, mm-hmm. they've kind of been neck and neck as far as the preseason.
What round did you draft Webster in?
I think it...
Was it a later round or like an earlier round?
It was a later round.
Yeah, so like a fifth or a sixth or
I
something
think it was
along
sixth
those
round.
Okay.
So I got him.
All right, so you don't have a ton invested in him, so.
No, not a lot, but we did bring him in to try and compete. But we still got Tony Carter, who's been playing well. So our secondary is looking really good.
Now, did Tony Carter just get injured today or yesterday?
No.
No, different Carter. Okay, I just had seen a headline and I was curious.
Fucking injuries, man. Stop worrying me with more fucking injuries that I don't know about.
Jesus Christ, dude. It could be a different Carter.
What
I don't
an
know.
Asshole.
It might not even. I think he even came back to practice that day, though.
He fucking better have.
Unlike Orlando Franklin.
Orlando Franklin, he hurt his hip. The MR or the X-ray was negative. He's going in for an MRI, but he didn't get carted off. It wasn't, dire. So here's the thing about him is it doesn't seem like it's too serious at this point. If it is serious and he misses a few games, our offensive line is going to be kind of a band-aid as long as everybody stays healthy. At that point, I think we are one injury away from what the fuck are we going to do now?
So this is...
Because then you're getting down there where you're down to second, third string where guys have already moved positions.
Right.
And they're getting hurt then. So then what do? Then you just scramble to piece shit together. I don't want to do that. Because right now...
No.
So Ryan Lilja, we just signed him recently. Manny Ramirez is still taking the ones at center. We moved Lilja to right guard and moved Luis Vasquez over to right tackle when Orlando Franklin was down in practice today.
I didn't realize when they signed Lilja.
Well, he was a guard in Indianapolis.
Oh,
but he's backing
he was...
up Manny Ramirez. He's one of those flex guys. That's why we picked him up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I always just thought he was a center with Kansas City. Like, that's all that I remembered of him. So,
And so Luis Vasquez is now a right tackle. So the right side of our line really still isn't looking that bad. But then one of those injuries goes down, then you're like, man, fuck. Now we've got a gaping hole because now you're definitely down to a third string guy on your offense.
So you're hoping that Franklin doesn't have Percy hip.
Yeah, I don't want him to have any problems with this, because that's big time. Our line is still patched and good enough as it stands right now with Orlando Franklin out, even though you are a lesser line, because Orlando Franklin brings a lot to the run game, too.
You bet.
And he's picked it up a lot in pass protection as well.
One thing that I would say about a hip injury to an offensive lineman in comparison to, say, like the Percy hip injury is...
Puthay.
You know, Percy being a speed receiver... Yeah, that totally threw me off, man. Like, I can't even... the name. I hate that name.
Percy.
Anyways, with Percy Harvin, you know, he's a skill position guy. He's running down the field. You know, his speed is his game. So mm-hmm. a hip injury to that is a big-time problem. I would imagine... And they say that, you know, people can play through that, but, you know, being mm-hmm. a speed guy and a track guy, you know, he wanted to be 100%, so he got surgery. I would think with an Orlando Franklin, where you're an offensive lineman and you can play through it and your game isn't predicated on being able to be a speedster, you're probably going to be okay there. I would
like to agree with that.
Yeah.
The only thing is these guys are carrying around 300 pounds, and the whole identity of their game is staying lower than the other guy, and it's always in your hips.
And that's where you flex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Don't bother me with your facts, logic, and reason, Jared.
I may disagree with you a little bit there, yeah. but I mean, it would sound nice. I would hope that it wouldn't be too big of a deal for him. But, you know, when you're squatted the entire time you're playing and having to move laterally quickly for as far as your run schemes go, it could be tough.
Yeah. yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. You just blow my theory up again. That's 2 weeks in a row. You're just blowing my shit up.
But like, you have a good point. So we're discussing them. But what you know, somebody else out there, if I happen to know the answer, you know, let's bring it to the surface.
Okay, that's good. All right, yeah. Your sports physiology degree, like, or whatever that was, like, all right. helped you out quite a bit.
Okay. So then the next thing is Dresden just had orthoscopic surgery.
Oh.
They don't know how long he's going to be out.
When was his knee hurt?
I just found this out today.
Okay, because that seems
to be. I found out yesterday.
Yeah. So he didn't go to Switzerland to get that taken care of, did he? Like,
no, I hope he does, though. So now we're down to Julius Thomas and Virgil Green. Not that bad at the backup position, because Jacob Tammy's still pretty limited. I think he was running around and doing some shit today in practice, but he's got that quad thing. He'll be back for you know, the start of the season. So as our depth chart would shake out right now, they have Dresden, Tammy, Julius Thomas, Virgil Green. Those are the four. So with injuries, Julius Thomas could very easily come through as our number one, which I would be more than fucking happy about that.
Right.
That's the guy I've been raving about since we started
the
podcast.
You've had a hard-on for him for a while now. So, yeah. How tall is he, Jared?
Still raging. 6'6". I believe he's 6'6".
I got to stop asking you about your favorite players and ask you that about the obscure ones.
Well, he played ball at Portland State. He was the basketball player.
Oh, really? From the Big Sky Conference?
Yeah, he had 1 year of eligibility to play football, and we drafted him based on just that.
Wow.
Yeah, and so he's been injured for a couple years. This year he's healthy, and he's just making ridiculous catches.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. And another guy is behind Wesley Woodyard. We have Danny Trevathan. I talked about him a lot last year in his rookie year, and he played great. He ended up playing a lot of snaps towards the end of the year, just not even based on injuries, just because they wanted him on the field.
Sure.
And everybody said, based on the training camp, if Wesley Woodyard wasn't basically the leader of that defense, that Trevathan would be starting.
Wow.
Yeah, just based on like how he's performed physically in training camp.
Because didn't Woodyard lead the team in tackles last year?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And Woodyard's great, but what that does is it tells me a lot about Trevathan's game since last year.
Sure.
So I don't know if that's actually true. You know, that could be just a couple of guys blowing smoke up this guy's ass. You know, I mean, I love him too. Sure. I've liked him since his rookie year. Maybe he's progressed that much, but don't be stepping on Wesley's toes.
But that's...
Yeah. I love that guy, man. He's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Great guy to have in your locker room. Wesley Woodyard, man. I hope he's healthy all year and I hope he starts every game.
Definitely. So anybody else that's kind of stood out to you?
Yeah. The Broncos fans that have been attending the Dove Valley training camp practices. So in the beginning of the practices, the Broncos players that everybody's stretching, the entire crowd takes part in that every single practice.
What?
Everybody around there, 4,000 strong, everybody's stretching with the team.
That's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
And so do they also participate with like diving on the field if it's wet, like for a mock game?
That's a security issue nowadays.
Liability problem.
The Broncos
problem.
Players were sliding around on the football field, and that's pretty fun to see. We had a really rainy...
Peyton Manning doing belly
thunderstorm.
Slides.
Yeah. He says he got 5 yards. Dude, he... Three and a half.
Yeah, he knows better. Come on, you know what 5 yards is, Peyton. There was
this
five.
I don't know if any of you guys have heard that. I think you've seen this, but when he threw that ball across his body last year, one of the funniest things I've ever heard to Stokely, he goes, "That's one of those cardinal sins, one of those things you never do. throw across the field. It's dangerous. But when you're 15th season, you kind of just don't give a shit.
Yeah, that, exactly.
And that was kind of his attitude, I think, here. He's just like, fuck it. I'm just going to go dive around.
Right, right.
And, you know, other than that, that's pretty much it. I'm not going to talk about the offensive depth chart much more than that. Just everybody knows that Ronnie Hillman's been playing well.
Yeah.
He'll be our number one going into the season.
Yeah.
You know, Sean will still be a factor. Jeremiah Johnson's looking good. Monty Ball's looking good. He's still a work in progress. But, yeah, all those guys are playing pretty well.
Do you think Hillman will be the number one back over Monty Ball by the start of week one?
I do.
Interesting. I would be more inclined to say the other way around.
Well, they've been saying that for a while, but Monty Ball hasn't – it's not easy to pick up this offense. It's why Ronnie Hillman was, you know, limited in action until the end of last year.
Sure.
Until injuries mounted up and he had to play.
Okay.
You know, he didn't play much all season long because learning this offense and your pass protections and your routes coming out of these audibles,
yeah,
it's almost impossible. So – Hillman's got another year, and he's definitely ahead of Knowshon Moreno right now. So, I mean, if I really had to pick it and I was going for maybe a safety factor, I would put it Hillman, Moreno, Monty Ball, and let them kind of split the carries in the first couple of games. But that's just what I would do. I'm not watching training camp there. I don't have it firsthand. But, yeah, it looks like Ronnie Hillman's going to be number one there.
John Fox hasn't called and asked for how you should do that.
No, but I think he should. I emailed him, but I think he's busy.
He didn't answer you back?
No, he's busy.
God, he's big time in
here. Yeah, he's got a family and shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, you are a big time podcast co-host. So, yeah. But, so, that kind of leads us to the preseason game, correct?
Yes, it does.
All right.
First, the 49ers.
First is the 49ers. So, will you just hurt somebody, please? Like, we just hurt somebody. Apparently, you know, because Patrick Willis just had hand surgery today.
Yeah, we could try and hurt somebody, but yeah. I don't think they have anybody left to hurt.
Well, you could hurt Colin Kaepernick.
Nah. Don't you want to see him play?
Nah.
You want to face him. He's their best option at quarterback. You want to play another team's best to make it.
I want to see him crumple. I just hate that guy. I just hate him.
Well, that's fine. Let it be in the last week of the season.
That would be fun, too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I like the NFL competitive.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick in there. Yeah, I want to see him fail, but I want him in there.
Okay. All right. I'll go with you.
But I like the preseason games for the same reason you do. You see a lot of your draft picks coming in and playing. You know, we'll get to see Brock Osweiler play quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about getting him a lot of reps. Just, you know, he's being groomed right now, and it's a process. So preseason's pretty much the only time for 16 weeks that he could potentially get to take care of this.
And Peyton Manning doesn't need the extra reps. I mean, let's not
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
I think he's seen the NFL a day or two.
Yeah.
So I think the
less reps, he'd
be fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you'll get to see a lot of these young players, how they're progressing, how your offense is clicking with the starters.
Sure.
I'm ready. Thursday.
Just ready.
Thursday.
So, any position groups, anything that you're looking at, like particularly in the game, anything that you're going to kind of focus on, or are you just kind of looking at it just in general just to see if somebody pops?
Yeah, I want to see how fast these guys are. I want to see how Duke plays. I want to see how he roams the backfield there.
Yeah.
Pretty much, everything else except for the running back position. I want to see Julius Thomas most of all. I think he's the number one guy that I want to see out there.
Yeah.
He's
tape your boner down before it comes out on the field. That'd be great. I don't want to have to see that. So
yeah, he's gonna be awesome, man.
Yeah, we're gonna find out. That's for sure.
We'll find out.
Yeah,
yeah. That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much what you got there. Well, folks, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I know the Hall of Fame game technically was last night. Fuck that. Who cares about the Cowboys?
Doesn't matter.
But football officially starts for our fandoms, boys and girls, Thursday night. Get your popcorn ready.
Be there. Let us know what you think of the game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Give us a call. You know, show us a rant. It's 406-823-0307. Let us know what you think after the game. Who stuck out to you? You know, something along those lines. If you don't sound like a drunk dumbass like us, we'll probably play it on the podcast. So go ahead and do that. Well, with that said, Jared, there's only one other thing to say.
As far as I know.
Yeah. Whether it's John Schneider or John Elway,
in John's we trust.